It is really hard to believe that today is New Year's Eve. Where has the time gone? It's almost the new year. The old is all but gone and the new is all but here. But has it actually came? Don't we tend to drag all our worries and cares and fears and problems from the old year into the new? And then we look ahead and wonder, perhaps even fear, what the new year will bring, whether it be sorrow or joy, blessing or trouble, sickness or health. The beginning of the new year can be exciting and fresh, but it can also be daunting and depressing as we realize the things that we should have said, should have accomplished. Maybe on the other hand, things that we shouldn't have said or shouldn't have done. The thought of another new year causes us to pause and reflect. Some may even set one or more New Year's resolutions in an effort to do better this year, to make improvements in their life. According to the NBC News website, the top New Year's resolutions from 2017 were these: to get healthy, to get organized, to live life to the fullest, to learn new hobbies, to spend less or save more, to travel, and to read more. Now, I would have guessed that lose weight was probably at the top of the list, followed by going to the gym more, eating right, you know, all those things. But I guess that all could be combined into the number one on the list, to get healthy. And I would suspect that if we polled a Christian group, such as yourselves here at Grace, we might get some of the same answers alongside with maybe read the Bible more, witness to others more, maybe even attend church more often. We each have our own list of what we would like to improve upon in the new year. But have you ever wondered what God would have you put on your list? I want you to take out your mental pencil and your notepad. If you have your mental New Year's Eve resolution list already started, turn that pencil over and erase everything that's on your list. Remember, you can always add it back on after the sermon and worship service is over. But today, we are going to start a new New Year's resolution list. And a good way for us to reflect on where we should be going in the new year, what should be on our list, is to use God's word as a mirror to show us ourselves in the light of God's law. I want you to turn to your hymnal to page 321. Page 321. This is the section with the Ten Commandments and their explanations as found in Luther's Small Catechism. We're going to use the catechism to help us to reflect, repent, and then generate a new New Year's resolution list. Now remember, you can use your bulletin, and there's pencils in a pew if you want to do it that way also. But the process is going to go like this. I'll read the commandment and the question, what does this mean? The congregation is going to respond aloud with the explanation. Then after a few words about the commandment, we'll take a moment to reflect privately on the past year, confessing our sins privately according to each commandment, and then in repentance, add a resolution for the new year to your list. Are you ready? All right, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Where has your trust been this year? Where will it be in the coming year? What or who have you put ahead of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Let's take a few moments to bow our heads and reflect on this commandment, repenting of our sins. And don't forget to add your first resolution to your mental list. The second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon him in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. How have you used God's name in the past year? Have you called upon him as you should, in times of trouble as well as in times of praise? How can you use his name appropriately in the coming year? We pause to bow our heads and reflect, repent, and add a second resolution to your list. The third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. This commandment is about the word of God. What part has the word of God played in your life this past year? Have you despised preaching? Attended church as often as you could? Have you regularly and diligently studied the word? What about in the coming year? With heads bowed, we pause to reflect, repent, and add a third resolution to your list. The fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. We all have parents. We are all subject to a variety of authorities. This commandment applies to us all, not only to the children among us. What has your relationship with parents and authorities been like this past year? How might it change in the year ahead? We pause to reflect, repent, and add a fourth resolution to the list. The fifth commandment, you shall not murder. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. This seems like such an easy commandment to keep. That is, until we understand it in the fullness as Luther expounds it in his explanation. Then we find that it's not as easy as we thought. Whom have you hurt or harmed? Whom have you failed to help? Will this change in the new year? We bow our heads and pause to reflect, repent, and to add a fifth item to our list. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we lead a sexually pure and decent life in what we say and do, and husband and wife love and honor each other. Again, this one seems pretty easy, but then we hear what Jesus tells us. I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Matthew 5:28. This commandment has to do also with our thoughts and our words, not only with our actions. Our lives and our hearts are to be pure and decent. Have you broken this commandment this year? And what can you do differently in the year ahead? We pause and bow our heads to reflect, repent, and add a sixth resolution to our list. The seventh commandment, you shall not steal. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income. Like the fifth and the sixth commandments, this one is bigger than it seems. Most of us don't outright steal things, but the explanation helps us to see our guilt here as well. Read again the explanation and examine yourself. What have you done or not done? What will you do or not do? We pause to reflect, repent, and add resolution 7 to our list. The eighth commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. This commandment does not just apply to when you're in court. Instead, it applies to every moment of every day. We have so many opportunities to tear down or build up the people in our lives. Take a moment to reflect and repent regarding the way you speak to people and about people. Then add another resolution to your list. The ninth and the tenth commandments are both about coveting. We'll take them together. The ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not scheme to get our neighbor's inheritance or house, or get it in a way that only appears right, but help and be a service to him in keeping it. The tenth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or his maidservant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not entice or force away our neighbor's wife, workers, or animals, or turn them against him, but urge him to stay and to do their duty. Coveting. What a challenge this is in our lives. Always wanting more than what God has given. Always desiring that which belongs to another. Take a few moments and reflect on the covetousness of your heart. Bow your heads and pause to reflect, repent, and add resolutions 9 and 10 to your list. When we use the Ten Commandments and their explanations to reflect on our past year and look ahead to the next, We find that we are truly sinful and that we need to confess these sins to God, our Heavenly Father. If you would, please join with me on page 213 in your hymnal for the confession of our sins. Page 213. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death. A poor, sinful being. Having confessed our sins together, allow me to read to you from Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, not even our sin when it's acknowledged and confessed, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As Paul said, God gave up his son for us all. He died and he rose again. He has ascended and is now interceding at the Father's right hand. In this same Jesus Christ, in the forgiveness that comes through him alone, we are more than conquerors. And in this way, we can enter the new year, not dragging our burdens of sin with us, but free and able to enter through him who gives us strength. Each of you in your mind or on your bulletin have a New Year's resolution list. And if in the year to come you have forgotten any of the resolutions on your list, it's no problem. Revisit the small catechism and the Ten Commandments to refresh your memory. Your confession of sin in light of God's law and the Ten Commandments has not only generated a new list for you, but maybe more importantly, created a renewed dependence on our Savior, Jesus Christ. You won't keep the commandments or your list perfectly, but you have a Savior who did so in your place, who died for your shortcomings and rose again, so you may have eternal life. But we must be aware to watch for our sinful nature, who will try to work this new list on our own. Luther writes, "Take heed lest you presume to get rid of the smallest of your sins through your own merit before God, and lest you rob Christ, the Lamb of God, of his credit." John the Baptist indeed demands that each one should know himself, repent, and grow better, yet not in himself, but in Jesus Christ alone. And with this in mind, receive the absolution for your sins. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, with our sins forgiven, and with a renewed dependence on Jesus Christ, we can start the new year echoing what Simeon had said in the temple that day so long ago. In fact, let's say it together. Please turn to the back of your bulletin and to the gospel reading for today, verses 29 through 32. Verses 29 through 32. Together, Lord, now are you letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. Happy New Year to you and to your families. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds this year in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.